you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever.
There are former Trump fans all over the internet who are burning their Make America Great hats, which is very scary because it means they've discovered fire.
It has to do with the fact that in the Soviet Union, if you want to buy an automobile, there is a 10-year wait.
We have constructed a governmental welfare scheme, which has been a machine for producing poor people.
I asked you about Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election.
I think that all government is a waste of taxpayer money.
Hello, and welcome to the Daily Circus Podcast. This is Zed, and I am joined by NBA China spokesperson, Red. Red? Aluja?
No, I'm here.
What's going on there?
Oh, I'm not allowed to say anything.
Okay, yeah. That's how that works. I see that when you have so much money coming in from China, your values just seem to kind of rush right out the door like stormtroopers to arrest citizens of Hong Kong.
Well, we do value a lot of things here at the NBA. And all of those things are the same thing. And those things are all money. Now, we'll take money in any form. So Chinese renminbi, we'll take it. Whatever. Dollars, pesos, we'll take it. Just give us the money. We don't care.
What about shroot bucks?
Yep. We'll take shroot bucks.
Stanley
Michael
Nichols?
Scott wants, oh, Stanley Nichols. We'll get those too. Really, anything that can convert into a cold
All right.
American dollars, we'll take.
Sweet. Well, you know what? We're going to start tonight out with a China update. So last week we did a show on the situation that happened with Blizzard Entertainment. At the time that we released the show, Blizzard had still not released a statement. And I believe it was like a day after we recorded, they finally released a statement. And from the looks of that statement, it looks like it may have taken them so long to release it because the guy that translated their Mandarin may have been on vacation.
The original Chinese statement was probably hard to translate without that guy.
Yeah, I don't know if you caught it when you were reading this, but when they talked about returning his prize, the word that they used was they were returning his prizing.
Oh, yeah. Was that really?
It really said prizing. Which is
no, did it really?
It really did, which is seems to be an odd way of saying that if you're a native English speaker.
Directly from Chief Pooh Bear himself.
They may have like resurrected Mao and had him write the statement. It may have taken a while. Had to perform, some kind of spirit cooking to raise Mao from the dead.
Oh, well, there you go. That's, we got to keep and our fibers together. In China, because you can't have the earrings on boys or the sports teams supporting the existence and continuing existence of a country like Hong Kong.
So this week we saw quite a few more developments with the China situation, specifically around the NBA. So Red, why don't you give us the latest from what's happening with the NBA and supporting China?
Well, yeah. So the Houston Rockets general manager, Daryl Morey, he basically did something really awesome. He said what everyone on Earth, I think, that's not a horrible commie thinks, which is fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong. I think this is like when the Gay Pride Day happens and everybody puts their rainbow flags out there. It's not controversial. This should not be controversial in the Western world, right? I think everybody is like, okay, well, we can be free. I think that's okay for Hong Kong to be free, right? But not everybody agrees with that. And the Houston Rockets owner on Friday said, listen, Daryl Morey does not speak for the Houston Rockets. Our presence in Tokyo which is neither Hong Kong nor China.
Yeah.
But she says, our presence in Tokyo is all about the promotion of the NBA internationally, and we are not a political organization at ESPN, which is great. That's good job. Good job defending the profit of your organization, right? But that doesn't stop there, because not only do we now get to hate the owner of the Houston Rockets, but we also get the wonderful LeBron James, who came out and basically said that he just wasn't educated on the issue, didn't know what he was doing, and that basically there are consequences for free speech. And I think we know what those consequences are. The consequences are LeBron James making less money.
Well, it sounds like, I think there's camps over there in China for this whole not being educated thing.
Yeah, well, maybe they should send LeBron to one, because he said, quote, I don't want to get into a word or sentence feud with Daryl, which is a crazy thing to say.
Oh, sentence feud.
Maybe he's speaking off the cuff, maybe. I don't know. So I don't want to judge him too much for that. But he said, I don't want to get into a word or sentence feud with Daryl Morey. But I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand. And he spoke, James said, and so many people could have been harmed, not only financially, yes, like you, but also physically. Well, okay, you mean the protesters in Hong Kong? Quote, or emotionally. Okay, like all the people that they might send to these, like, places.
Labor camps?
I'm not saying it.
That, you know, I saw,
I don't want LeBron to get mad at me.
I saw an image of a 10-year-old boy being arrested in Hong Kong. 10 years old.
That boy was being hurt not only financially, but physically and emotionally.
He was arrested because of something he said. He said, you know, liberate Hong Kong, revolution of our time. And he got arrested for that. That's what they're dealing with over there.
I don't think 10-year-olds should be protesting, because they have no idea what they're talking about. But we also shouldn't be arresting them for protesting.
Well, yeah, I mean, no, you know, the thing is, it's probably a 10-year-old. He was being a dumb 10-year-old on his way to class and said the thing, right? And yep. or who knows, maybe his parents are in jail, and, you know, in which case he should be out
he's
there.
He's the only one left.
Yeah, he should be out there in the streets protesting. So,
LeBron's right here. Okay, so people could have been harmed financially, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and they are being harmed. These are the people in Hong Kong, LeBron.
I don't know. I think LeBron maybe can't afford that second gold-plated swimming pool now. they're gonna have to stop with the gold plating halfway.
This is the best part. He says, we all do have freedom of speech, but at times there are ramifications for the negative that can happen when you're not thinking about others and you're only thinking about yourself.
Pot, meat, kettle.
Oh, man, this guy and his gold plated toilet seats.
I mean, who is it LeBron is saying that he's thinking of? Is he thinking of dictator Poo? His poor hurt feelings from all the people that are protesting in Hong Kong that don't want to be under his thumb?
Yeah, Daryl Moore is so selfish. Posting a tweet about all those. Above the Hong Kong people. Selfish. Selfish Daryl. Selfish.
We'll have to send him a nasty note.
Yeah. Yeah. Selfish Daryl.
Let him know to be more considerate of dictators next time.
Yeah. You're hurting Pooh Bear's feelings, okay? Like LeBron says, people are harmed financially, physically, emotionally, and spiritually by you saying things like, keep Hong Kong free, or whatever it was.
Man, yeah.
Ridiculous.
All right. Well, enough about China for now. Let's talk about some place that they're not talking about China, which is the debates. I think it's hilarious how they keep the China issue out of the debates. Not one time have I heard them say anything about the situation that's going on in Hong Kong. And, you know, that's probably right, because the next president of the United States won't have to deal with the situation in Hong Kong, because we really, unlike the Middle East, choose just to ignore it and let those people be oppressed.
Yeah, they don't have any oil. Why do we care?
We like to play Liberator as long as there's large amounts of oil beneath their feet. If there's sometimes, not, you know.
Sometimes gas pipelines are important. I think that's why we care about Ukraine.
Well, you know.
Are there any gas pipelines in China?
I don't know, but
if there are, they should
keep them a secret.
We're going to have to go liberate China. It'd be nice if we did. I don't know. I don't know what we can do about Hong Kong, but it is strange that they're not talking about it. They don't care. They don't care.
Yep. No one wants to say anything because they know they can't deal with it, because otherwise it would destroy the entire economy, because we've become intertwined with a giant dictator man and his, government controlled economy.
Yeah, well, it's a great thing we've done.
Awesome. A
wonderful choice we've made.
All right. Well, seriously enough about China this time. On to the debates.
It didn't work last time. What happened?
I don't know. I get on a soapbox. You know, I'm selfish. I just, you know.
Trying to support Hong Kong. Stop it.
Thinking enough about.
God's going to correct you.
Xi Jinping, you know. So
what did Biden say? Did he do anything
hilarious? Yeah, Biden did a lot of things hilarious. So Biden said, you know, there was one time where he said that he should eliminate capital gains tax, and you know, he immediately realized that what he meant to say was raise it to the maximum. So he said, what we need to do is eliminate the capital gains tax. I mean, raise it to the maximum. Sorry. There were several other times where he just fumbled over his words, and so he tried to take credit for the entirety of the Obama administration. I really wanted him to say, and I think you said this the other night in a joke when we were joking back and forth, oh Biden care. It really felt like he was saying, you know, I did all this, I did all that. He even at one point said, and this isn't the first time he said this, I'm the only one up here who has implemented major policies that have changed things. I mean, what kind of gigantic, I mean, that's almost Trump ego right there.
Almost, yeah. I mean, it's the same thing. It's, you know, I'm the God and you are all the people.
Yeah, so the thing with Biden for me is we have the same problem that we had with Hillary. It's that entitled, it's my turn, high up in the DNC mentality, and there's a couple of things wrong with it. Number one, that mentality will lose to Trump. Number two, terrible way to be.
Well, it's I know best. That's the platform. It's I know best for you. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm smarter than you. I know best. I'm going to make the decisions that you can't make because you're dumb.
Well, yeah, you about summed that up.
I'm sorry. I should have drug it out longer.
No, it's okay. Here's the other thing. We got two more candidates in this debate. I thought that as you went along, you were supposed to be eliminating candidates.
Just
yeah.
Plus two?
Yeah,
who joined?
We went from 10 to 12. So Tulsi Gabbard came back in this one. She didn't make the last one. And then there's a billionaire guy, Steyer. Oh, I'm trying to think of that guy's name. I don't even know his name because he literally isn't important. He didn't qualify to this debate. Steyer.
I'm glad about Gabbard. I heard she did pretty well. I saw the polls. Saw her. She did better than Biden, I think.
Yeah, she actually did do pretty good. Tom Steyer, this guy is a hedge fund manager. He's a billionaire, philanthropist.
Veto.
You know, I have to say, this is another one of those things. I don't know why we keep electing billionaires to stop billionaires. It makes no sense. Like the guy that he's going to go into office and just immediately impose gigantic penalties upon himself. I highly doubt that.
I don't even care. I legitimately, unless this guy is some kind of like Trumpian person, then no. The only reason Trump made it as the super whatever billionaire he claims to be is because his whole platform was on being against those kinds of people, even though he was one of them. And a hedge fund manager just doesn't sound like one of those kind of people. We don't want to elect Jamie Dimon to be the president. We don't want to elect. We just don't. I'm glad you're good at managing financial markets and skimming the cream off the top by efficiently allocating economic wealth. But we don't need you to make decisions about what's best for everyone else, please. Thank you. That is all.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. So Beto doubled down on taking guns. He said, you know, again, he's going to take the AK-47s. He's going to take the AR-15s. Those were the two specific guns that he's coming to take. You know, he didn't say anything about M60s. Of course, those are already outlawed, but if they're out there, I'd think you wouldn't want somebody to have it. But, so he got asked again and again how he's going to do this. How do you know who to take the guns from? And he just kept talking crazy talk about penalties and whatnot. And at one point, like, I really was ready for him to say that we're going to give everybody guns so that he can take them away, because that's the only way he's going to know who to take the guns from. It's totally insane. Buttigieg just clotheslined him at the end of the argument. Buttigieg was basically like, look, we finally have the country at a place where we can talk about getting some reasonable gun laws in place. And what he was talking about was background checks, which I think background checks is a very reasonable idea.
Sure.
You know, I think if you're going to buy a gun, there's nothing that, you know, there's no harm in having a background check. It doesn't say you can't have the gun. It just says we're going to check your background. We're going to make sure you haven't robbed a bunch of banks, or that, you know, you weren't in the hospital yesterday for wanting to kill yourself, because it's probably not a good idea to, you know, give you a gun if that's the case. And then make an informed decision. Whereas right now we have laws that say, you know, you have to have a background check if you go to a gun store in some states. But then you can just go to a Joe's yard in a fairground where they're having a gun show and buy like 50 guns and no one checks or writes anything down. It's totally insane, I think. So Buttigieg was saying, hey, you know, we actually are at a point where we might be able to get people to agree to finally pass background checks. And here you are wanting to turn it up to 11 and make everybody angry.
Yep. Well, you know, we can finally put to bed the quote unquote debunked myth that no one is trying to confiscate your guns, because now we clearly have a presidential contender who is on stage in front of everyone saying this crazy stuff. So, yep, some of these people exist. I think it's very unlikely that they will ever win. Let us hope not, because it would be, I would wager to bet there would be some kind of a bloodbath.
Oh, I mean, yeah, no, there would be riots in the street. There would be liberate the Bayou revolution of our time.
So, yeah, I think the gun shows requiring background checks would be pretty reasonable. I think almost everybody agrees with that. Even if you don't think it's going to make a big deal, like, I don't think it would make much of an impact in terms of stopping anything bad that happens, but I also don't think it's a big deal. So it's, you know, you got to do it when you're at a store. There's no reason you shouldn't do it at a gun show. I wouldn't expect a background check if I was giving a gun or receiving one from like a family member. But if I'm buying one from somebody else, it seems pretty reasonable to do that.
Yeah, and exactly. And so, you know, the other thing is, I can guarantee you that when Beto said that he was going to take the guns, there was some guy out there that went, "See, Skeeter, I told you Obama's going to take our guns."
Yep. There it is.
They still think Obama's going to take their guns. It's hilarious.
He might. He could come back, man. It could be. This could be the long game. What's the long game here? I heard it. The long game is to oust Trump and Pence, install Nancy Pelosi as acting president, at which point she would appoint Hillary. I don't think that's right. I think she's just going to reappoint Obama. It'll just be Obama and Biden round three.
That'll never happen. That situation you just described will never happen.
that's a real thing. Some people believe. I think it's very unlikely. But yeah, I like it.
It's
funny.
There's one guy that would never let that happen. He's very turtly and full of demons.
If they get Pence out, then I'm declaring it a coup. If they impeach Trump, okay. If they impeach Pence and Trump, it's a coup. The straight up coup. Because there's no way they should be impeached.
So here's the thing, though. Impeachment is never going to happen. Now, let's talk about impeachment from the debate standpoint real quick. Everybody on the debate stage was down with impeachment. They're basically like, at this point, it's very clear. There have been a lot of suspect things happen. We need to proceed with impeachment hearings. So everybody was okay with this. But here's the thing. I actually don't think impeachment is a good idea. And I don't think it's a good idea, not because I don't want Trump out. I do. I don't want him in there, but I also Pence scares me maybe more. But so the thing is, as long as Mitch McConnell is alive, you will never impeach Donald Trump. It doesn't matter if Donald Trump were to just go on a murdering rampage down Constitution Avenue, Mitch McConnell would never impeach him. Donald Trump could do anything in the world. Mitch McConnell would never impeach him.
I think the murder rampage might push him over the line. Maybe
not,
the murder.
Not
rampage.
McConnell. There is no way. It might cause a military coup or something, but McConnell would never budge. I'm telling you. That man is the worst human being we've ever had in government.
Okay, well, maybe. I don't know. So why do you think Mitch has the power to stop the impeachment?
Well, because they're not going to get, you have to have not just a simple majority to actually impeach him. You have to have 2/3. There's enough Republicans in the Senate to not have 2/3. The Senate tries the president. So the House can recommend that they impeach, and then it's up for the Senate to hold a trial. As long as Mitch McConnell controls the Senate, there will never be a trial.
Yeah, but what there will be is endless inquiries. And at this point, they haven't even passed the thing to say that they're going to start doing impeachment inquiries, right? They're just doing it. This is the craziest part. They're just literally acting like they've started an impeachment and nobody's voted on it. And they've done it specifically so that they don't have to do it in open hearings. So everything that's happening is happening in closed hearings. And the only information that comes out is what's being leaked out. So it's this whole thing, like, if they actually want to start an impeachment, okay, let's start the impeachment and then we can have the hearings and we can know what's going on. But what's going on right now is just a whole bunch of closed door. Nobody knows what's going on.
What they are doing right now is what Mitch McConnell would do.
It's just political theater.
What they should ask themselves, if you become a politician, the one thing you should ask yourself when you're getting ready to do something is, what would Mitch McConnell do? And then you should just do the exact opposite.
Well, yeah, that's it's tough being a turtle, you know, it's just tough. Got that hard exterior shell to protect you from things. You got that neck, that exposed, droopy neck. It's just tough. It's tough being a turtle, man.
Did you see about the Pride crosswalk that McConnell got so upset about him and his wife?
What they demolished? They bulldozed.
I don't remember what town this was, but there was some town that made a rainbow pride crosswalk, and McConnell and his wife were all up in arms trying to get the government of the town to pass some kind of law to get rid of it.
Well, I'm a big fan of rainbows, and I don't like them because of a political statement. I just think they're nice.
They're very pretty. I enjoy rainbows. And, you know, I have no problem with a rainbow-colored crosswalk. So long as it's got the reflective tape stuff so you can see it at night, I'm good with it.
Oh, I'd be fine even without the reflective stuff. So I'm better than you. I'm more virtuous. I've signaled more virtuously. So deal with that.
All right. You know, I got to be honest with you. I didn't make it all the way through this debate. This is the first one that I didn't watch completely. And, you know, I got, I don't know, 2/3 of the way through it. And I had to turn on some Hitchcock because I just needed a palate cleanser. And I really enjoy Hitchcock stuff. And I wanted something to completely take my mind off of where it is, because at this point, there's so many of them that it's not worth even holding the debate. Well, I mean, they're saying the same stuff every time.
Did any of them say anything that you liked that you were like, oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Yang definitely, again, talked about automation and what we need to do to start, you know, preparing for the robots to take all of our jobs. And then nobody listened.
And they laughed at him.
Just like
you're
every
so
time.
Stupid. You think you're smart.
It's it's scary.
Wealth redistribution. Don't worry. We'll just tax the rich till the robots solve things. Magic, magic, magic.
Yeah, I was watching a thing the other day where there were these reporters that were doing a deep dive into automation. And they were inside of a robotic semi truck. So there was an actual driver in the truck. They went, I don't know, 120 something miles in this truck. You know, they had the camera crew in the back of the cab, and they were, you know, watching it. The reporter guy was sitting in the front, and the truck made the complete 120 mile journey, and the driver never had to touch the wheel or the pedals.
That sounds wonderful.
I mean,
it's going to be a wonderful world where no one has a job. There will
be. Yeah. So they were, you know, they were taking these truck drivers on tours in it because they had like this group of truck drivers, and they were interviewing them, and they were asking them, like, do you think, you know, robots will ever be able to do your job and all this? And they said no. And, you know, then they had them like get in this truck and do the thing where they rode around in it. And then they were all like blown away and terribly scared.
Oh gosh, yeah, that would be a real, real depressing moment to realize that your entire job can be done by a computer.
Yeah, and that's what's going to happen when truck drivers, you know, are no longer needed. That is going to be the largest blow to the economy that we have seen, I think.
Well, the problem is that it's going to happen really quick, like most of the other things. You don't really notice. Lots of jobs are already gone. They've already been automated away by, like, you know, macros and Excel and email. There's just a lot of jobs that are gone now. And you don't really notice because most of these jobs have sort of drifted away slowly over time. And people have found similar jobs or like there used to be a lot more personal assistants, secretaries, things like that, people who filled those functions. But we have email, so we don't need to write memos. We don't need somebody to dictate things. You know, we don't need somebody to help us schedule appointments unless we're incredibly important. We just go to Outlook if we have appointments to schedule, which is
even people that are in, you know, even people that are incredibly important don't need that. They just
they just want it.
Yeah.
But so I think this has been happening for a long time. The problem is once we hit this AI, and AI kicks into a specific function that's really close to what you do, there are lots of tools now that'll do lots of jobs that are done on a computer. It's called, I think, RPA, robotic process automation. And it just takes like normal stuff people do sitting at their desk. and it does it all for you. And it does it 1,000 times faster than you. So while you may not lose your job, if there's 100 of you doing the same thing, you're really only going to need one person now to do that same job. So it's that is going to happen swiftly when that happens. Each type of job is just going to
out of existence. That's the thing with the truck drivers, right? The truck drivers will be replaced as fast as they can make the trucks.
And they can make them pretty fast. I don't know if you see those Model 3s. They're just pumping them out.
Yeah. So, you know, definitely scary stuff. Final thoughts on the debate is just I'm ready for there to be a lot less candidates. You know, I love Yang, but I realize he's not going to be the guy. He gets
a lot of good poll numbers compared to some of these other ones.
He does, but he's, you know, he's never going to beat Warren, Bernie, or Biden. So that's what I want to see. I'm ready to get down to Warren, Bernie, and Biden, because it's going to be one of those three. And it's just the sad state of, you know, things we live in.
Okay. Well, who do you think was the winner in your mind?
That's rough, because I didn't watch the whole thing.
Well, but most people didn't.
If I had to say one clear winner, I would just say, I wouldn't say a specific person as much as I would say, you know what? I might say Amy Klobuchar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Amy Klobuchar. So there were a lot of times where the more moderate ideas sort of rang through. And, I think Amy Klobuchar did a really good job of trying to bring the extreme leftist more moderate. So I think Klobuchar. Yeah, no, I could get behind Klobuchar. But again, she won't make it.
Well, according to 538, Warren is the clear winner. And according to The Economy, Warren is going to destroy it.
The Economy. So, and Warren is, you know, here's the thing. Here's my problem with this. The three front runners are in their like late 70s. It is insane.
Warren's the young one. Yeah, she's
the young spry one. Nothing against people in their late 70s, but I just don't think it's the right age for a job as stressful as president. You know, I think Trump's too old. He's right up there with him, right?
He's way too old, man. Yeah, this is crazy. I mean, okay, we got cocktails of drugs for these people now. I think if you're super rich, there's tons of stuff they can give you if they get them in the right combinations that can keep you.
Yeah, okay. You know, let's think about the stress and pressure that has to exist in that job, and then think about an 80-year-old person trying to.
I don't know, man. Bush W. He didn't seem stressed out at all. If I recall from The Daily Show that reported frequently on his golf outings.
Yeah, he wasn't, because Cheney was.
That's right. As long as they appoint some kind of Darth Vader second in command, they'll be fine. If you get some kind of like, you know, paper pusher, white knight like Pence, you got to do all the dirty work yourself. I don't know what, you know.
That is true.
So, yeah, that's cool. I like Warren a lot for a lot of the things that she points out as her problems. But I think we'll see. I don't know if she wins. I don't think she will, because the establishment is entirely against her. The bankers do not like Warren, and the bankers are going to switch teams and start supporting Trump. I think I read that analysis somewhere. I think it's true, because if Warren wins, she's going to go after the banks, which would be awesome. So I think that would kind of end any kind of chance that they have of building some kind of coalition.
And Warren and Bernie both want complete Medicare for all, which I don't know how to feel about it. There's good things about it. There's bad things about it. There's certainly lots of bad things and I guess good things about our current healthcare system. However, if Medicare for all comes into existence, I mean, I guess I'll be unemployed. So, you know, there is that whole personal thing I have going on against it.
Well, it's a Medicare for All is a weird one. So, I mean, I think it'd be great to have some kind of way to give everyone who doesn't have a way to get health care. But what our plan is to just give everyone health insurance.
Yeah, no, the plan here is eliminate private insurance, period.
Yeah.
Everybody goes on Medicare, which I don't think is a feasible plan just from an okay, so as much as I like the idea, it's not practical from an economic standard at all, because you would think about the number of jobs, the number of people you would instantly unemploy. You would you would instantly become the least popular president in history.
Forget Yang. Warren's bringing the unemployment, the breadlines.
You know, you don't need robots when you just take away all of the jobs, period.
I mean, how much of our financial sector is tied up in health insurance? It's crazy.
Oh, it's a huge chunk. Now, don't get me wrong. I think they really are. A lot of this is just unnecessary fluff. And it's just things, which giant Rube Goldberg machine. But
it's such a beautiful machine.
It is a terribly ugly Frankenstein machine. But you can't just kill it. If you just kill it, then you kill all the people with it.
Yeah, it's got to be a slow decline. That's why I'm in favor of eliminating tax deductible healthcare plans. So if you did that, everything else would just like slowly change. And that's what we need to do. You need to slowly change this stuff so it's not so consolidated, so there's not this big money interest, and that people have more choice. And the more you do that, the more things open up for you to do other things, I think. But like the public option, having something for the poor people, would be great if they could pick things like the healthcare exchange as part of Obamacare. That's a good idea. It's a good idea to have a healthcare exchange where people can go buy health insurance, but it's not going to work as long as the majority of people are getting health insurance through their employers. Because if the majority of people aren't in that market, then the market's not going to function very well. It's because, you know, it's just going to be the leftovers. It's just going to be the people who can't get a good deal are all going to go there, and they're just going to get gouged. So you got to get rid of the health, the insurance tied to employment. And I think you got to do that anyways, just so people can be free. Because it's just not, you're not very free if you have to work for someone else to have a way to take care of your, you know, your health.
Now wait a minute now. You're starting to sound like you don't like the masters.
Which masters?
The ones that control it all.
Oh, no, they're good. They're good guys. They're doing their best. They just are terrible and need to go away forever.
All right. Well, let's end tonight on a light note, right? No, not at all. Syria. Turkey, the Kurds. We couldn't end on a more depressing subject. So, you know, there's the whole thing where Trump pulled out of Turkey, there were 50 troops over there I think it says a lot about America and our military strength when taking 50 troops away destabilizes a region. So I think just the presence of those troops makes so many people scared to do anything, just a number as small as 50. So here's the thing. I don't know what to think about this situation, because here's what's going on. Everybody immediately wants to hate the idea that Trump just did it. And do I think Trump just did it on a whim? I honestly do. He sent that letter that looked like it was written by a 13-year-old. I'll put a link to that in the show notes.
But it worked. Either that worked or the phone call did.
Yeah, I will call you later. That's how he ended the that's like something I put down for my girlfriend when I was in eighth grade.
Yeah, man, he is who he is. That's who he is.
Yes, he is a gigantic idiot. All right. So I wanted to come on here and I wanted to tell you guys all about it and all about why it's good or why it's bad or why this is happening. But here's the thing. I started doing a deep dive into this whole the Kurds and Syria and Turkey. And let me tell you, the more I read, the more confused I was. There is just so much. There is so much at play. There are so many factions. I don't know. You'd have to have a history degree in that specifically to understand what is going on over there. It is a very complex situation. So I just wanted to let you know that here on the Daily Circus, we're not going to come out and tell you that it's good or that it's bad. We're going to tell you it's very confusing and complicated, and you should go try and do research and make up your own opinion.
And after you do, remember that there's lots of people who disagree with you. And now we have 50 less troops in that region.
And you just remember also that if you do that, probably the people that disagree with you are not as informed as you are. Because you're going to walk away just as confused as I was.
That's for sure. It's I also actually did kind of the same thing where the first I heard something about it and I thought, you know, I wonder how much geography the Kurds really control in Syria. And I started trying to find a map just to see like how
you
much
can't figure
control.
It out.
I know, because I looked and I looked and I looked and I'm like, well, this is a map. I don't know what that's. And then I was like, okay, but how much did Turkey control? Well, how much did they control for how long? Okay, but then how much did the Kurds control? Well, who are the Kurds and how many factions make up the Kurds? And are the Kurds a bunch of minorities? No, but they're almost all Muslims. But 99% are Muslims. No, but that's not a real number because it's mostly not Muslims. Which kind of Muslims? But it's not all Muslims. It's actually 14 different people.
And then you'll find some of them. Oh, yeah, Zoroaster. I found that over there. I was like, what? There's still people practicing Zoroastrianism? and you'll find some things that tell you that they're majority Christian. And that just can't be true.
That can't be true. There's no way that's true. That's a ploy to make you like them if you're a Christian. So, that's what that is.
You know, you're right. Like that, when you start looking at the geography and how you slice it up, the other problem is, you know, one group will say they own this. I think there literally are three different factions that are laying claim to the same sections of land. I don't know who owns it.
Well, they know who owns it. Whoever has a gun and is sitting on it.
Whoever has the most weapons.
So it's a great. I think it. But there was a good thing. We can end on a good note. Is that the agreement came out where they were basically kicking the Kurds off the contested land. So nobody's going to die, and a bunch of people are not going to be sitting on that land with guns that were, and it'll be different people sitting on that land with guns, and that'll be Turkey. And then they're going to build a wall, I guess, or have some kind of a legal, the idea is at least that they're going to have some kind of a legal differentiation point, some kind of a border. And so once you have a border, I know people hate borders now, but borders are actually really wonderful because you know who owns what, and you don't have to shoot people all the time because people know that that's your side, and this is my side. So I think
Mexico going to pay for the wall?
I think they will.
All right. Well, you know, we're going to leave you on that depressing note. Go read.
Good note. There's no more shooting. They stopped the shooting.
They did stop the shooting, but the depressing note is you'll never figure it out. Go. I dare you to try. All right. Well,
he's a very wise man who just made that comment.
Thanks. Thanks for listening to the show, guys. We hope you enjoyed it. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Circus Pod. You can find me on Twitter at Real Zed. Red, when you're not trying to shill for the NBA, where can they find you at?
You can find me at Red TDC in China.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys. We hope you enjoyed it, and we will see you next time on the Daily Circus.
Well, that was a tough start, but...
Yeah, no, we got it, man. That was a good show, I think.
I think so, too.
Looking for a great new podcast where both of the hosts also think Jeff Sessions' stance on marijuana is ridiculous?
Oh no, the gun went off. Somehow that's related to marijuana.
Well, you know, I heard that marijuana can pull triggers.
Well, it is the gateway gun.
A podcast that takes political issues seriously, but also isn't afraid to have some fun.
All right, let's start with PETA and how they took over the movie.
Chewy cooks a pork!
The Daily Circus Podcast brings you interviews on events you won't believe are happening in 2018 America.
I was getting ready to play some video games with some friends, actually, when I get a call from my mom saying that there are six police cars in her yard wanting to talk to me.
So, six police cars.
While you're playing video games.
The Daily Circus isn't afraid to get into the real issues on gun control.
I want the government to be afraid to start a civil war. I think everyone should want the government to be afraid to start a civil war. I mean, we would all like individuals also not to want to start a civil war.
And of course, the Daily Circus covers the latest on Donald Trump.
Because his ego is bruised, because if there was Russian interference in the election, even if he had no part in it, then that somehow to him means that he's got to be sad now and go.
The Daily Circus Podcast. Click one of the links below to subscribe and get informed.